One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, want to let you know I'm headed back on tour. Friday, September 13th, I'll be in Austin, Texas at the Vulcan, one night only. Saturday, September 14th, I'm at the Granada Theater in Dallas, Texas, one night only. I'm back at the La Jolla Comedy Store Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st. Salt Lake City, September 27th at the State Room. And Denver, Colorado, Saturday, September 28th at the Oriental Theater. Get your tickets for those shows and all shows on my website now at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pass Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all your social media, ryansickler.com. And I'm going to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for whatever you do to support anything that I do. I don't care if it's a shirt, an email, telling a neighbor, whatever. Thank you for whatever you do, all right? And if you got to have more, then I'm telling you, you got to have the Patreon. The Patreon is called The Honeydew With Y'all, and it is this show with y'all, and nobody's got crazier stories than y'all. It's $5 a month. You get The Honeydew a day early. You're getting it ad-free, and you're getting it at no additional cost. And if you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. I want to do an episode with you. All right. If you sent it before, send it again. We get a lot of them. Bump it back up. All right. And I want to say thank you for your support of The Way Back. It's such a fun new show. I love doing it. And I really appreciate you guys supporting it. Also, tickets for my tour are on my website now. Go to ryansickler.com. If I'm in your town, when you're around, come out and catch a live show. All right, that's it. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest on. First time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Francisco Ramos. Welcome to The Honeydew. I should say Ramos.
Ramos, that's right. What's up? Brother, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Great hat.
Thank you. Yes.
Great
I mean,
team.
It's now it's fun to walk around with this hat. You know,
I'm talking my daughter. You don't even know.
No, it's like
I wouldn't even have these games on in the house. We're beat 14-2.
I know. But now they're like in prime time. ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Yeah. And the Orioles are playing. I was like, oh, we're great. I went to see them in Anaheim.
Yeah.
They look good.
They're fun, dude.
They're fun.
It's
young.
Finally fun. It's fun and young. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Before we get into your, whatever we're going to talk about, please promote everything. You have a new special out.
Yes.
Tell everybody.
Yeah, this is a special. It's right called, So my special is called Venezuelan American. And it comes out right now. It's on YouTube. You know, you can check it out. You can go to my Instagram, F Ramos Comedy. And it's all there, all the info. And it was shot at last year at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, produced by Brad Garrett. So it was great. And like, and then I have some shows coming up on the road, which I'm going to read them right here. I'm going to be in Bellflower, August 10th, Houston, August 30th, Orlando, September 19th, New York, October 4th, and Madrid, Spain.
No shit?
October 19th and 20th, yes.
Wow.
I'm going international, baby.
That's big, dude.
Yeah. It's a small, it's a school, like,
Don't down talk it.
Yeah, now. But
you're
it's
going
good.
To Madrid, Spain. I don't care.
Yeah, one show in English and one show in Spanish.
Well done. All right.
Yes, I started, because I'm also starting to do, so slowly doing Spanish.
All your shows are where on your website?
They're all in franciscoeramos.com, or you can go to my Instagram, F Ramos Comedy, or Francisco Ramos Google. You'll find all the information there.
Well, I mean, I obviously known you for a long time now, but I really, this is the thing I love sitting down with this show, because I don't, you don't get people's family history and all these things. So where are you originally from? Were you born in Maryland?
No, I was born in Venezuela.
Okay.
And we moved to D.C. For my mom's job. She got a job at the Pan American Health Organization, which is based on D.C., right?
Is that a government job?
It's like, yeah, it's part of like the World Health Organization. It's like one of those, you know, there's like in D.C., there's like the World Bank and all this other. So it's part of those international organizations. She got a job there. And that's where we moved. We moved to D.C. And then the idea was like, hey, where do we live? It was D.C., Maryland or Virginia. My mom chose Maryland, so I grew up in Bethesda. That's where I grew up in Bethesda. Mm-hmm. Then we moved to Rockville. And so Bethesda and Rockville, those were my literally middle school, high school, and college years living there.
Where'd you go? You go to Maryland?
I went to Maryland.
Oh, you did? You're a Terp as well?
I'm a Terp, and I was there when we won the only basketball national championship. Yeah, with Juan Dixon,
Steve Blake.
Chris Wilcox. Yeah, you know, we had a good team.
That was a good team. That was a great team. Those Joe Smith years were good, too.
Yes, but that team was not.
Gary Williams.
Gary Williams, hey, that's why he has now hit the court, his name. I remember Cole Phil House. I used to play pickup soccer at Cole Phil
House. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it was like, they did like a whole like inside like, you know, soccer feel inside the thing before when they moved to the other one.
Yeah. So how many siblings do you have?
I have one sister, older sister.
How much older?
2.5, almost 3 years
old. Okay, so the four of you moved to the States.
The States.
And are your parents both from Venezuela as well?
Okay. Yes. So,
so they're Venezuelan.
Fully Venezuelan. Oh, 100%. Which I realized too, this is why I kept so much of also, or we kept so much of that Venezuelan culture, because my parents are very Venezuelan in terms of like, they're very proud to be. And like, we spoke Spanish at home. It was very like, no, summers, you're going to go back to Venezuela. And
is that right?
Yeah. Spend time 3 months with your grandma, you know,
nice.
And all that
stuff.
Okay,
so good. Like, I like that.
So that's why I kept the Spanish, you know, that's why I feel like I'm in both worlds, you know, with the like American world and the Venezuelan. Like
I said, outside, bro. You need to be the Joe Coy of Venezuela.
Tap into your people, man. I'm ready to do it.
Nobody reps harder. And this is not a diss on the U.S. I just find it to be a fact. Like, and because it's not a white people thing. It's not like an American thing. Like, the Irish go hard for Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
The Philippines go hard for Pacquiao and Joe Coy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Asians love Ali Wong.
Yeah.
Like they're your people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Into
Russell
those
Peter
people.
With
Russell
all the
Peter,
things.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, yeah, yeah, 100%.
No, and I think it's, yeah, I love, I mean, I've got a new.
They understand who the hell you are.
Exactly. And they feel proud too.
But you're also the hybrid. A lot of these comedians are where you can dance both sides.
Oh, yeah.
You can tap into them and then make fun of it on this side 100%. And vice versa.
And I know what's going to, how to deliver it too. Because 100%. It's like, I know this way that the American will get it and this Latino will get it like that. So yeah, I have both sides. So yeah, I mean, I'm very
So what sort of things, like, are you guys flying a flag at the house? You got a Venezuelan flag?
We had like a wall.
Did you?
Like,
what are you,
wall,
inside?
Like a flag in the wall and some kind of like, there's a Venezuelan instrument called cuatro, which is like a ukulele, like a little bigger ukulele. And like, so that was in the wall. There was this mask, like an evil mask, which is like a very, like, it's a Venezuelan thing called the devils of, it's like a, some kind of like, I don't
keep
know.
Keep evil away thing.
Yeah, some shit like, you know, and then we had that too. So we had maracas in there. Mm-hmm. So it was very like the wall, the Venezuelan wall, you know. So yeah, we had that.
And
it was
as a kid in elementary school, are you meeting other, because it's, I mean, I grew up in the suburbs of Baltimore. There's no Spanish speaking kids. You know what I mean? Like, my name in Spanish class was Raul because it was as close to Ryan, they said, as you could get. And we had Señorita Doyle. Now, she was crushing Spanish.
Okay.
But she was very textbook Spanish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So are you finding kids you can relate to young, or are you the outcast?
No,
are
well, I was the outcast.
D.C. is a melting pot, so that's why I wonder. There's a lot of Puerto Rican, yeah, and a lot of Dominican.
But I don't know, well, I mean, definitely, the thing is, like, my mom put me in a little private school. So, like, I didn't get the whole, which I realized later, I was like, oh, in public schools, they have the ESL thing when they teach you. I'm like, I didn't get that. This school was literally one teacher per grade.
Oh, shit.
So, there was nobody to teach me English besides, you know, so I would just go to the class and sit in the back. So it was a very small class, but in terms of the people that were there, yeah, it was mostly, you know, Americans. And they were like, everybody was American, but there was like three or four, like, I guess, minorities, if you want to call it, like two guys that were like Latinos, and then one guy was a black guy. And like, and those are the ones that I kind of like gravitated to more. But they were still, it's not like they knew Spanish or anything like that. It was just pretty much, you know, I was just more like, okay, you guys, you know, we're kind of like,
y'all got some pigment, you got in your something. Skin, so yeah, I'm yeah, yeah. We'll slide over pretty for y'all. Much, yeah.
There's more shadow on this
down
side
the
of
the brown over here, guys.
Should I sit in hit this side? You know, because remember, one's name is Gonzalez. I'm like, well, like, yeah, you know, you got yeah, something in yeah, there, you yeah, know, even if it's pronounced Gonzalez, you know. But yeah, so I was more, so I never got, but I did get this whole, so I was also still, I think I was also more of like the out, not outcast, but like definitely the weird kid, or the, in that, because I didn't know, you know, it was just some random kid that was just sitting in the back, couldn't talk to anybody, you know, the first, because I started sixth grade, like in the middle of sixth grade. So the whole, basically from January to like the end of the semester, the school year, I was just going to school to just to kind of listen and try to learn English. And that's how I did it.
Well, do you remember when it clicked, when you're like, okay, I fucking can finally understand?
I did.
Because the thing I still struggle with, I do Babbel for Spanish and mm-hmm, stuff, and I can do it
yeah,
on the app.
Yeah.
But the speed,
yeah, no, it's
that
too
people
fast,
speak it with, I'm like, God damn, dude, you got to talk to me like I'm special needs. You know what I'm saying right now? Like, I know words, but you're, I'm like, I got a fucking, I got calcetines. I got socks out of that whole thing, bro. That's where I struggle yeah, with, you
yeah,
know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I say it back to you. I'm definitely like, you know, like the guy, the Mexicans that speak here.
Yeah,
like
they yeah, go, they speak.
The Dodgers. Like, that's me.
That's you.
In
okay,
Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing that back. Like, biblioteca.
Yeah, you gotta it, go slow. Yeah,
yeah. I can't.
No,
do
no,
it,
and yeah, it's true. I mean, we speak, especially like
so
Venezuelan,
fast,
we speak very fast.
Fast.
And it's just, yeah, I mean, that's, I understand it because it's very hard. But my thing, when you said when it finally clicked.
Yeah, when did it click? What grade are you in?
Dude, it was like literally finished sixth grade, summer. I don't know what
sixth
I did.
Sixth grade, you're in all the way up to sixth grade.
All the way to sixth grade. Finished. The summer started. I don't know what we did during the summer. But I remember starting seventh grade and I was like, oh, I understand everything. So it took me 6 months and I was adamant to learn because I wanted to fit in. My whole thing was always trying, like, I need to fit in because I was kind of like one of the cool kids back in Venezuela in the class. And then I was like, oh, I don't like not being one of the cool kids mm-hmm, or whatever. So it's like, my whole thing was like, I need to learn quickly English so then I can fit in and then be part of the cool kids.
So when do you get to the school system where you're no longer in that sheltered room with the one teacher? When do you finally hit public school? Middle school?
No, I never hit public.
Never?
Because my mom, so the whole
even
thing.
Even high school?
Even high school. Went to Good Counsel High School.
So how many like kids
but
are in your
was
class?
That, the for middle school was like probably like 25, 30 per class.
But it's the same teacher teaching
same
every
teacher,
subject.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, also, I see the flaw in that whole fucking
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
like,
no.
What teacher knows everything about everything?
Of course. Yeah. And I remember her teacher. Yeah. She was very, like, in the beginning, she was very cool with me trying to help people. It's like, I got to teach a class. It's yeah, like, I'm yeah, sorry. Like, it's like, it's literally like bringing your kid or your baby to work. I mean, mm-hmm, like, or like your pet. Sorry, you got to stay in the corner and drink your water because, like, I got to teach a thing. So, like, middle for high school was definitely just a bigger high school. It was like, you know, it was like, I think my class was like 1,000, you know, students. It was a big high school, but it was still, the thing about it was private because my mom, so her job helped her, like gave her like 80% would pay 80%.
Oh, okay.
So then it's like,
so guess what?
Why?
That's where you're going.
That's why, if not, I would have gone straight to like public school, you know? But like, so that's, and also my mom being very, you know, Catholic, she wanted to me and my sister keep the whole Catholic, you know, for like, you know, until high school, yeah. So that's why we went to private school.
So do you go buck wild when you get to the University of Maryland then? I mean, good God.
No, I didn't know. It was, what was weird is because I was already like being buck wild in high school in terms of like, I was already, there was
where's your friend group?
So that's what then, it was a switch that happened. So like, I would say like, I started freshman year and I was like, and it was new kind of friends. I had the other friends, but it was like, and I knew the new other kind of friends in high school. And they were all pretty, I started feeling more like American. I was going more like, I was Frank. Going to the party.
Was that what they called you?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hell no. You ain't no Frank, bro. You are not a Frank.
In school.
There ain't no way. I can never look at you and think Frank, dude. What? No way.
No Frank?
Your friends, let's go, bro. There ain't no way. Oh, next time I see you, I'm going to fucking scream. Yeah. You're just a Frank. I'm going to hit you with a Frank.
I love it. I love
Where
Frank.
Are you? How long were you Frank?
So my thing is like, I started developing like two personalities.
Okay.
Because what happened was my sister at that time then met another Venezuelan friend that was in this, that was basically, it was this, another family that had the same kind of like thing that we went through. They moved from Caracas to Venezuela to DC, and she had a brother like my age. So I met him, and then I started hanging out with him during the weekends, and he had another friend who was Dominican. And we started speaking, you know, we started hanging out and doing the clubs in DC when I was like 16, 17 years old.
Can I ask you this too? Like, I know you're Venezuelan, you come over and you're hoping to find, you know, someone you can relate to, but has it ever happened where you're like, fuck yeah, they're Venezuelan, and then you meet him, you're like, God, these people suck.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And then you can't.
And then you can't.
I mean?
And I don't care.
And they want to, yeah, you know, yeah, what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. Nah, man.
I don't. And that's another thing,
like,
too.
Like, if I was like, in Venezuela, I was like, oh, it's got some Americans there. I'm like, these people fucking suck,
yeah,
man.
No, yeah, it's, yeah, I've, I don't want people, hang you out, go, yeah, like, I don't care if you're Venezuelan. Yeah. I can't hang out with you because you're just annoying or too much, you know. So it's like, man, that's been my thing all the time, too. I'm like, I don't care where, like, first of all, be a cool dude, cool person. And then if you're from Venezuela, then that's a cool little, like, bonus or something, you know?
So you had the Frank public persona and the Francisco student.
No, Francisco was also the public persona, but in the weekends.
Got it.
So, like, weekends, I was Francisco. During the week, I was Frank. So I had, like...
Who were you Francisco with?
So my developing... just friends who I started, like, were, like... Kids like me that had moved late, like 15, 16 years old, that moved from other countries like Dominican Republic or Mexico or Uruguay, whatever, that also their parents were in the same. You know, so it's like I started building that friendship too. And those were where we were going out partying in clubs. So I was already partying in clubs in DC when I was like 16, 17 years old with like my sister would sneak us in, you know, stuff like that. So I was like, I was already doing that shit. And then I was hanging out with my friends too. I would go to their parties, you know, the house parties, you know, in Maryland and all this stuff. And I was like, listening to Sublime and all, you know, and all this shit. So it was like, it was definitely like a whole
two worlds.
Like two worlds.
Yeah.
And I knew how to like, I was always like, both. Yeah, I was very like, it wasn't like, I was a cool kid in both worlds in a way. Not one of the cool kids, not the cool kid, but not the coolest kid.
All right, so that's your mom. What about your dad? Tell us about your dad. What did he do for a living?
So my dad, he had when we moved, he had his own medical distribution business where he would like, which he created by scratch. He was an industrial chemist. He used to work for Merck, this pharmaceutical company, and then he started his own business. And he basically that's the thing that I tell people, like, it's one of those immigrant cases where we didn't move because we needed to move. We moved because my mom and my dad wanted us to basically learn English for the future. But it wasn't like we needed. We were very well off in Venezuela. My mom had a good professional job with Oral-B. My dad had his own business and was growing. So
was the move to the States a lateral move or was it an elevated move?
It was an elevated move in terms of like, because I think because of the more of the opportunities for us, my sister and I. But in terms of
lifestyle
or economy, no. Same. I think we would have actually, we would have been better in Venezuela. Like in terms of we had more, you know, I guess more of a affluent, you know, lifestyle in Venezuela than in the U.S., you know. But my parents did it because also the contract was going to be for 2 years and then it kept getting renewed and then shit started happening in Venezuela. So they're like, all right, let's just stay here.
Got it.
You know, okay. but that was the whole thing. So my dad, so when we moved.
So did he have to start all over when he moved here?
So and that was, it's one of the things when you grow up and you realize you're like, I mean, I started after I was like, fuck, my dad gave a lot just to be with us because he could have stayed in Venezuela and keep handling his business, but he kind of left and he had another partner there, but it was him, the one that basically ran the business. So after he was here, he had to close down the business and he had to literally start from scratch. He became what I was called, like he became Mr. Mom to us. He was a guy who was just very, because he was very, you know, I always go back like, man, like that must have been, you know, hit the ego a little bit to be like, I have my own business. I have my own shit.
And we're thriving.
And thriving. And now I'm like, now I got to pick up the kids and do.
And my wife is the breadwinner. And I'm sure from a Latin country, exactly. That shit is not easy to swallow.
100%. So he did all that. And he used to work. I mean, but he tried to also be, you know, work. He worked as a shoe salesman in DSW warehouse.
Oh yeah.
Like trying to sell shoes. He worked at trying to sell like insurance or like attorney things, you know, and then finally he started working with a cousin of my mom. He had his own architectural design thing. And he started working like the administrative, the business side of it and stuff like that. And so he started doing he did a bunch of side jobs, you know, and eventually he found his second vocation in life, which is he became like a Spanish teacher and working with like the government with like CIA agents.
Oh shit.
So that was pretty, really? So he would work with guys that would go to like Colombia or like other parts.
And he's teaching them
how to speak Spanish so they can defend themselves there. Yeah. But there was agents, you know? Yeah. So he did all that shit. Like it was like, and I was, well, again, when you're growing up, you're not even paying attention to that shit. I learned this later on, and I'm like, oh fuck, he did all this. He sacrificed a lot, pretty much.
So he was a good dad. You were close.
Yeah, very close. We were very close, and he was very always supportive.
You ever coach any of your sports teams?
Yes. He was a huge baseball. I'm a huge baseball fan and sports fan in general.
I mean, look, I'll be straight. If I ever get into a position where I'm a stay-at-home dad, I'm fucking third base coach. I'll be out there waving you around like a son of a bitch. I'm coaching. Hell yeah.
Of course. That's
Little league kids, that's too. So kids fun. I don't even have. You know what I mean? Come on, Frank. Let's go. Let's get two.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, and now the world where we are, you could do that, and then all of a sudden now you're managing a major league team.
Yeah.
Look what JJ Redick had.
Mm-hmm.
JJ was literally doing like a little basketball kid, and now he's the Lakers coach. But yeah, he did all. He was very into sports, very into baseball. That was kind of like the thing that that connects us a lot. Like we would just talk a lot about sports and watching baseball. And he was like, you would go with him to a baseball game. We went to the Orioles game. He was like an encyclopedia. He just knew shit. Well. He knew everything, you know, in history of baseball and very knowledgeable about it. So yeah, he was very into sports. And
did he support like the world team too? Like the Venezuelan, was he into that?
Yeah.
You guys have crazy leagues over there.
Yeah.
Guys, so good.
Yeah, we did. And that was a thing too. Like he would watch also a lot of games because there were so many Venezuelan players in the major league. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, look at what this guy did.
Who's the most famous, would you say?
I think the most, you know, the most famous, I guess, I think you had to go from right now, from like Miguel Cabrera to Ronald Acuña to Altuve. Those three guys.
Those three are all Hall of Fame.
So it's like, I think those are the pretty much fame. I mean, the old school ones that I remember him talking about was the only guy who's in the Hall of Fame Venezuela. He played for the White Sox like in the 60s. Luis Aparicio.
He played for the Orioles, I believe.
He played for the Orioles too as well. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So
he's Venezuelan.
He's Venezuelan. Right. So he was like a very big fan of him, shortstop and stuff like that. The Big Cat, Andrés Galarraga, remember?
Galarraga,
He was, so there's been a lot of him, but it's like, I think those are the
pretty much. So that bonded you guys, huh?
100%, yeah. That.
And he was an Oriole fan, and you
Oriole
go to.
Fan, yes.
So were you going to, did you ever go to Memorial Stadium, or were you always Camden Yards?
No, I was Camden Yards. Okay. I never, because we moved there in 94.
Yeah.
So there was no, so Camden Yards all the time, but yeah, we went there all the time to the games. And that's why I became an Orioles fan, because the Nationals weren't there.
And we were good then too.
Yes,
we were good Ripken, for a couple years there.
Yeah, yep.
Eddie Murray came back.
Of course,
you had the streak going on.
We had Brady Anderson filled
run.
With.
Yeah, there was a lot of good stuff going on that time. It's a good time to be an Orioles fan.
Yeah, it was good.
But you say your dad recently passed?
No, it's been 2000 since 2009. So
okay, so
it's literally like when I first 3 years into starting this comedy journey.
So you're how old now?
I'm 42 right now.
And 15 years ago. So were you 27?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's young.
And it sucked because he never saw this whole thing come to fruition. Because he was very, not.
Had you even started?
I started literally when I moved here, but it was like doing open mics and kind of like.
Not
I wasn't,
enough for him to come see a show yet.
No, I think he maybe saw me once. When I went back to D.C. And I was hosting at the D.C. Improv, something like that. But that's it. But it was never I remember the first year when I remember we had fight. Like he's like, why don't you just move back? I'm like, I'm not moving back. This is what I do. This is what I am right now. All this kind of and I at that time I was mad, but I would realize, he just wanted me not to struggle, because he didn't. Also, he comes from a different generation. These are generations of his whole idea of being successful, and my mom's too in that generation, is being just get a job in a corporation, an office. That's it. That means you're successful.
But the next level was for their kids, get a college degree.
Exactly.
Get a job because you'll get paid more with that piece of paper.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So they had all that stuff and me literally flipping the script of I majored in finance and worked for a year, but I don't like this anymore. Now I'm moving to LA to do this comedy stuff. They were like, what the hell? You know, it was, they never were what the fuck are you doing? But it was more
I say all the time, it makes me laugh because my father's generation was Vietnam era. His father was World War II era. Shit. And I'm like, I want to go be a clown. And they're just like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
What I mean? Thank God they died when I was young. They'd have been like, what are you doing?
But I think it's one of the things.
They would have loved it.
I think we're lucky because we're living in a time though where we could do that.
Like, this is the freedom you all fought for me to have.
Exactly. You didn't have any freedom because you had to survive. Yeah. Now we can fucking do what we want to do. Yeah. And that's.
I'm doing what you wanted me to do.
Exactly.
Even though you don't want me to do this.
I wanted you to follow my dreams.
Yeah.
Not your dreams.
Yeah.
My dreams. Yeah. So that was the thing. So then, yeah, he passed away, and you know, I was.
What happened?
So he had cancer.
He did. And, when did you find? What age do you find out he has cancer?
Dude, so it was very quick. So it was like this. I mean, it was so it was 2009, and I guess maybe in the beginning of the year, like I remember getting the call, you know, that I was like, hey, you know, your dad has multiple myeloma, which is blood cancer, which is.
And was he experiencing anything prior to that, or was he
No, he just.
I hate hearing these stories where people are like, I just thought I had a cough. I knew a guy I worked with,
you know, this
kid that thought he had a chest cold.
Exactly.
And he went in there like, you have a tumor already grown. He was like, what? And thank God he made it. But I'm just like.
So it was like that.
Was it?
It was. I remember now. That's funny you remember, because I remember now, like, yeah, he had like a. He had a pain in the back or something. Like, I think he was doing some exercises or something, and he pulled something and he had a pain or something. And then he went to the doctor, and that's why they did all the tests, and that's where he found out. And so then he started doing the chemotherapy and, you know, all the stuff. And like, so I went to visit him, I guess like in the summer. I spent a couple of, you know, with him, and it was fun. It was like, cause he was, you know, all the chemotherapy makes you all swollen and like, and he had trouble even kind of walking. So I would help him. Like, remember one time I was in the bedroom and he was, you know, he was kind of almost crying, you know, because it's that whole kind of like, I should not be, I don't want my, he was very proud.
The machismo
was like,
bullshit.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Which is like, I don't want my kids to help me. I should be helping.
I should be able to get up. How old is he at this point, by the way?
He's 65.
Okay.
Because see, that's why he passed away, 65, yeah. And yeah, you could tell. I remember going like, don't worry, you know, like, it's fine. We're here to help you and all. But it was very, you could tell that anger of like, I don't want to be a burden, you know. And that was his main thing. And I think... I think it was, you know, universe. I would love to, you know, if I get a chance to meet him again, be like, did you kind of like force yourself to, because I feel like he did that in a way, because he passed quickly in terms of like, so he passed on October 29th of that year. So it was pretty like.
And when was he officially diagnosed?
Like,
let's say
February, March, like it was.
Damn. There.
And but he passed away because he never got to the. Which was cool to him. We never got to the point where he was in the hospital, like all
80 pounds.
Yeah, 80 pounds, all that stuff. He passed away actually, I think, of a heart attack. It was like one day that, you know, and it was the day that everybody was always at the house, and then my mom had like left for like a day. My sister was coming the next.
It's always something.
And
I
feel like he did that because of his whole. Prowess.
I don't want them to see this, here.
I'm done with, I don't want to be a burden anymore. I don't want people to take care of me. I should be able to take care of people. And I think he had that. He was one of the oldest, not the oldest, but one of the oldest of his brothers and sisters. And he was being, I think, the guy that people would always look up to for help. So I think he had that thing, and he never wanted to be a burden. And yeah, he passed away on October 29th. My mom's friend came to, you know, see him the next day, and found him on the bed, and, you know, just a heart attack, which I always say, well, at least he didn't get to a point of suffering of like, even though the chemotherapy, you know, kills everything, including yourself, which is like horrible too. But like, so yeah, it was very, you know, and I remember getting that call at work, because at that point I was still working at an investment firm in Century City as I started doing open mics. I remember getting the call in during the office. I was like, you know, and I was like, what? I was like, it took me by surprise. And I was like, okay, I gotta, all right. And I remember going to
who called you?
I think it was my sister. And yeah, I was like in
shock.
And
you didn't know this was coming? I mean, you knew there was an inevitable end, but you didn't think
not
October.
Not at all, because he wasn't like in...
Right, he wasn't...
And I was about to go see him too in Thanksgiving or something. So yeah, he wasn't bedridden. Supposedly the chemotherapy was helping, you know? So it wasn't like... Yeah, I didn't expect that it was going to happen that quick, you know? And yeah, I remember telling him about, I gotta go. He was like, oh, okay. So I, you know, next plane straight to DC. And yeah, man, it was very, you know, tough, you know, just, you know, being with my mom and my sister, because my mom's also very tough too.
Who found them?
It was a family friend, because she was like, she came in that morning And yeah, she like knocked on the door and opened the door and then went upstairs. And then that's when she found him, like just in the bed, you know? And yeah, man, it was, I remember being in the, you know, even seeing him when we went to the funeral, then seeing him, you know, and I'm like,
open casket
thing. And like,
fucking Catholics.
Yeah.
My whole family's Catholic. Yeah. All fucking Catholics. Yeah, just, God, I got to keep the casket open, dude.
I don't get it. I don't
either.
I mean, it was.
Why do we need to pretty this dude up? It don't even really, some of them do a bad job. I know, like, this don't even look like this dude right here. You sure you got the right body in this casket?
I don't think that's my dad. My dad had more hair. Is that a wig? Dad. What the?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was very it was tough. And then obviously, like, I think it's the whole idea of like, he was still, I think it was, and I even said this during the eulogy, I was like, I think he died during the, it's funny that he died in the fall, because he died in the fall of his life, because I, you know, 65, mm-hmm. you know, even if he had 50, died 80,
what
you
year?
Know 2009. So it's like, and then, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, obviously has affected me all my life, but I think not the cool thing, but it was more about like, it really helped me continue my journey of comedy and doing all this stuff and following my dreams and all that stuff, because I was like, all right, I'm going to do this now for him kind of thing. I'm like, I'm sad, but I'm not going to like just stop. Not doing stuff.
Go for you. I say all the time, like, I literally believe that my dad and my grandmother, they gave their lives for us.
Mm-hmm.
My dad died 42. I'm 16. And I'm like, I'm not going to waste that.
Exactly.
I don't want to waste
exactly.
that. They were too important to me. And I love that through these shows and through our stand up and things like that, we're able to keep them alive.
Yeah.
And I love that. And yeah. I never saw something like that, this coming for that.
No.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I ask you, like, once you guys found out your dad was going to pass, or February-ish, I think you mm-hmm, said it was, mm-hmm. did you guys start having any conversations? Did you talk real shit about life and death? Did you talk to him about any of that?
You know what? That's the problem with my family. It's very close. Like, we don't share emotions or feelings or kind of stuff like that, especially on my mom's side. My dad's side was more emotional, and you know, he would like show his emotions more. So we never talked about and I regret that. I regret even with my dad, even going here and talking to him about his life and all his stuff, because I always felt like I later on after he passed away, and then I started talking to his friends, it was kind of like I started getting to know him more, and I was like, ah, man, all the cool things that my dad did, and he was such a cool dude and fun dude to hang out with, and I'm like, which I never saw.
Yeah,
that.
You just knew him as dad.
As dad, you know, and the guy was always like annoying you or like, oh, no, or embarrassing you. Yeah, like, don't embarrass me, dad.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah. It was like, and yeah, so it was like, we never talked about anything of that. And like, I mean, my mom either, nothing.
He never brought up
he never
went about his business day to day. He didn't call you and be like, I'm experiencing this now.
No, nothing.
I'm going to miss you when I go.
Nothing. None of that.
Did you think you had more time?
Yes, and I regret
did
it.
Did he?
I think he did too. Yeah. And or maybe it was one of the things that, yeah, he never wanted to face the fact that he was going to, you know, or like, but yeah, we never had those conversations. Which I regret it, because I think it's one of the things that you should have, it would have been cool to kind of like close the chapter in a way, you know, not lead that, you know.
Yeah, I always think about, you know, I there's a few things that you think about when you lose a parent as a kid, like, one thing I don't have to deal with is my dad becoming elderly and then having to care for him,
exactly.
put him in a home, figure out what to do about that.
Exactly.
Not that I wouldn't trade anything to do that, but that's just something that I listen to so many people talk about. Like, my parents are still here and they're not doing well. They're mm-hmm. losing their minds. You know, these things. I'm like,
exactly.
damn.
Yeah.
I don't ever have to deal with that. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have kids?
No, I just got married last year.
Was it last year? Congrats.
Was it last year?
Do you want kids?
I do want kids.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I want, I mean, my wife's a little younger than me, so it's like she's still kind of like not wants to have kids right away, but I think we both do for sure. But yeah, I do want kids. I mean,
do you, have you ever had these conversations with your mom about your dad?
So I'm working on an idea for a show that I was working developing based on my family. You know, I kind of interview my mom about mostly about the, you know, when we move and all that stuff. So yeah, we had some, but we haven't had, my mom is one of those people that she cannot, I don't think I've heard her say, I love you out loud to me.
Really?
Like, and I know she does, but she's one of those.
Your mom, that surprises me.
No, she sends me reels and emojis.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, she just sent me one.
Hearts and shit or whatever.
It's like, I'm so proud of my son, like that.
But she doesn't type, I love you.
A heart. She can't type, I love you. And there's no way she can say, I love you.
Did you ever see your parents affectionate?
It was always my dad kind of like joking, like, give me a kiss. My mom's like, eh. It was that. That's what I pretty much remember. And it was funny because I grew up that way too. I'm like that with my, you know, with my mom and my sister. I'm like, my grandma was, he's like, well, there's no, when I, for example, when I used to go visit my grandma, I was like, never saw her like in a year. I'd be like, show up at the house. I'm like, hi, grandma. She's like, hi. That's it. She'd be like, you look fat. I was like, all right, hello.
Good to see you too, see grandma.
I was like, what the fuck? It's like, all right. That's where I grew up. That whole like no share emotions.
I was going to say, I'm not surprised by the male side of it, but I am surprised by the female side.
Oh, yeah,
side
no,
of
it's
it.
More
and
of
it,
the
that
female.
It goes to generations too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So your mom was clearly raised that way.
Of course. And my grandpa, and I always hung out more with my mom's side of the family. Because my dad's side of family, they show their emotions, they love to hug. And I remember every time I would go visit them, they would hug me and I would feel so uncomfortable. I would be like, don't kiss. I always had that whole thing of like, even with like, ex-girlfriends, they'd be like, why are you not? I'm like, that's not, you know, I'm sorry. And that's the thing that I learned to kind of like let go. But if I always, my nature is not to be huggy feeling like
touched.
It's more blunt. It's more like, and unfortunately, yeah, looking at the bad size instead of the good size.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
It's always like, why'd you do that? Instead of like, hey, great job doing that. You should have done this. And which, that's the thing that came from both of my, mostly my mom, but also my dad used to do stuff like that. Which, especially when I started thinking about doing and being a comedian, that really kind of, I had to like switch that, change that chip. Because I grew up with people telling me like, hey, you're not good at this. You're not good at that. Like, nah, nah, nah. So then I'm like, well, I guess I'm not good at anything. And then you start realizing, ah, no, they're just telling you this. That doesn't mean that you are.
Right.
And then it's just going back like, oh, they're telling you not because they don't like you. It's because that's their way of protecting you.
Yeah.
That fucking weird old school way of like protecting you. But like, and then that's kind of, oh, okay. And then I started going like, all right, that's now every time they tell me shit like that, I know where it's coming from, even though it's always, and it's even to this day, you know, like my mom, the first time I got a speaking part on a Netflix show, you know, I sent her the thing and the first thing that she said is like, how come you only have one line?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, I had 12, but they cut 11 of them out, mom.
I was like, you know how hard it is to get this shit? And you're like, I'm like, when we go to the director, like, hey, can I get more lines? Because my mom is asking.
I'm blown away that your mom isn't like, I'm so proud of my baby. Oh,
but you know,
I love you.
I realize, and then I realize this later on, especially with my dad and, you know, and my mom too. They fucking, when it's with their, against in their friends circle, that's where you shine. That's where you shine.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you that shit to you.
Giving it to you.
No.
But my circle of
people.
Oh,
yeah. Look what he did.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. Like, my mom. You know, they don't. That's how it is. And it was always like that I realized. And I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, obviously the way that I grew up. But it's like this whole thing of like, which if I have kids, that's something I'm definitely going to change.
Yeah. You got to break that cycle.
Yeah.
You got to break that 100%.
It's like you can't. It's like you can't, you know, you got to show emotion. You got to tell your kids. And I do remember my dad was better at that. I do remember one time when he told me he was proud of me. Like, it was coming, he picked me up from school. It was just some random, but he remember, like, and I still remember when the building, walking from the car to the elevator, he goes like, hey, man, I'm proud of you. And I was like, okay. But I still remember that shit.
See, I think about this all the time, too, just as a philosophy, like, if we don't ever tell our kids we're proud of them all the time, and then once in a while, that shit's stuck with. Look at it.
Stuck.
I say it to my daughter so much that I wonder if it even has any effect. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like the comic that says too much fuck during the set.
Yeah.
And then when you actually say the fuck that's funny, it doesn't have
that. It doesn't have its punch.
So I'm not going to be proud of my kid all the time. I mean, like, when you do something good, then I'll tell you I'm proud. Yeah. But I'm like, I did your best. No, you should be doing your best.
But you did a lot of good.
Yes.
More than just the one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, of course. There was a more. I mean, I think there are times, especially there's things that you do as a parent that you don't realize. Like, remember one time I was taking a shower and I think I was singing. And I think my dad came to get something in the bathroom and he heard, and I think he was like, ah, you suck.
You just made me think of something now.
which I at that point, I remember, I mean, I at that point I realized, oh, I suck at singing. I can't sing. But that doesn't just say singing. That reflects everything. I suck at everything.
Right, all of it.
And to be honest, yes, I'm not a good singer. It's true. But like, don't fucking say that to an 8-year-old that way, because he probably was joking too. It's like, ah, Francisco. It's like, I tell him like, nah, that sucks. But when we're older, we know that we're joking. I didn't even realize that.
I'll never forget, man. You just made me remember this. We used to have a snapper riding mower, and it's my turn to cut the grass.
Is it the one that got like that?
The one from Can't Buy Me Love. If you ever saw that movie with the bag catcher on the back, little red one with a white T handlebar. And, it's my turn to cut, and I had the old school. I have them out there, actually. I got the old school yellow cassette player with the yellow headphones.
Yeah.
And it's summer. I'm out there riding around. I'm singing to whatever is on my thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just singing out loud, but you got headphones in, so you don't realize how loud. And the front door is open and shit. And I come by, and my dad's like, he goes like this. I go, what's up? He goes, listen, you sound like a cat in heat. He told me, he said, stop fucking singing. You're embarrassing us to the whole neighborhood. I was like, you piece of shit. I'm like 14, you know, I'm like, you fucking dick. You fucking did like this. Like, oh, you asshole, fucking stop me to tell me I sound like a cat in heat.
That's so funny.
Shit, man. That stuck with me. I was like, I ain't going to be singing in any high school bands. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
And that's what then I realized. Yeah. And let me tell you, Alex, sometimes I'm like, let me record myself. Which, by the way, if you think you can record yourself, listen to yourself in the car.
Listen to yourself talk for a while. It took a long time for me to hear recordings of myself where I finally was like, okay, I sound like that.
Okay, yeah.
At first, you're like, I don't sound like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, me too. Like, people imitate me.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Richards has an imitation of me. He goes like, I talk like my mouth is too big for my mouth. My tongue is. So he talks like that. And I'm like, I don't sound. And people are like, no, you do sound. I'm like, no, but I don't sound like that. And it's like, but it's one of the things when you start, like, yeah, I do
Bro, you're the reason I take magnesium. Do you remember that?
Dude, I saw the improv that night. You're
like, magnesium. You hit it like that. And I still take it every day. Helps with my bones, bro.
Magnesium. It's good shit.
So did you ever take a trip back to Venezuela to talk to your dad's uncles or any relatives like that? Just to get to know him a little more?
It's funny you mentioned that because that's one of the things. I would like to do that as a documentary. Mm-hmm. Like record that and go talk. Because my dad used to travel a lot also through Venezuela and like go to these different cities and different events. That would be my thing, to go back and talk to their friends, but also visit this place.
Retrace his steps.
And kind of like, and all the things. And like, but yeah, no, I haven't had a chance because I haven't been back in Venezuela for like 8 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I'll go back this year, next year, and then start, you know, working on that. But I would love to, you know, get their side of the things, sort of then tell me stories about what they did. And especially I would love to get my dad, I get to know my dad as an adult, cool part, like what the crazy shit that he did. You know what I mean? Cause obviously he never shared that with me because I was still young or whatever. But like, I would like to be like, no, what? How was he?
I've said way too much on these microphones over these years that my daughter's going to know it all.
Yeah, she's going to know.
Like, well, remember that time you said you did shrooms? I'm like, I never did that. She's like, you said it on episode
4. Then we got this stuff.
Yeah, I can't lie about anything now. Yeah.
It's like, all right, that was me. Yeah.
And your mom, has there ever been anything you talked to your mom and you asked about your dad? She told you it shocked you or surprised you?
No, there's nothing that I can think of that was like what the, no, there's nothing that I can, cause again, my mom doesn't share shit.
Were they, you know? If he doesn't pass away, are they together forever?
Oh, yeah.
Were they in love? Were they that couple? They were going nowhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were like my parents would have. I mean, my mom has never even remarried.
I was
going to
ask
like
you, did she start dating or anything again?
No.
Never brought another man around you?
No. Which I wouldn't care.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
I hope you just want your mom to be happy.
I'll be care if he's like 5 months after.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey, what the fuck? Like, you know, but like. But like now, like I wouldn't, but yeah, no, I think they were very, you know, together. They're very much in love. Their idea was to retire together and move back to Venezuela and kind of like live over there and kind of like, you know, enjoy the rest, which my mom is back there, you know.
She is back there now?
Yeah, because she moved back after my dad passed away a couple of years after. She moved back to take care of my grandmother. And then she just stayed there because now she actually lives better over there, which if you can think about it.
So you haven't seen your mom then?
No, she comes back to visit all the time. All right, so I've seen her, and you know, all the time we travel. But in terms of going back to Venezuela, no, I haven't been. But yeah.
This, because something I just had experience with my health and stuff, genetics, this blood cancer, is this something that you have to be tested for? And
I mean,
is it run in your family? Does that?
Well, I think he's the only one that's gotten
really?
It, you know, like that's definitely, obviously I had grandparents, think of, you know, my grandparents that have cancer, but it was another type of cancer. And then my grandma too, lung cancer, but she smoked. So there's obviously cancer runs in the family, but like, I think more is like taking care of like the hearts, you know, like that's the thing that I go and be like, always checking the heart, you know, to see if I, you know, because my dad had high blood pressure and all this stuff, which that's one of the things that led to him, passing away. So I was checking that. But like, I think with the blood stuff, you just gotta, you gotta always have your checkups, but it's more about, you know, taking care of the blood, of the heart stuff.
I like to ask people this a lot. If you had 24 hours with your dad, what are you doing?
I think definitely we would go, definitely go to a baseball game if there's in the season, you know.
Same.
I think that'd be the...
I'd see you out there at my dead dad.
Yeah. I'd be like...
What's up, Frank? I would definitely see you at the dad. There's going to be a lot of dead dads at baseball games. There's going to be a lot of dead dads.
That should be a thing. A dead dad
day.
Dead dad day. It's just a bunch of guys with
2-for-1 tickets. There's nobody there. Yeah. That's great.
The dead dad day.
Nobody's there. Every other seat
is empty.
That's hilarious, dude. Dead dad day at the ballpark. Last place teams 100% should do that just to get rid of tickets.
Of course. Sure. Have somebody not throw the baseball. Yeah. Just somebody just like... Nobody throws
it just
a baby.
Sits on the mound. Doesn't go anywhere.
Have Kevin Costner coming.
That would be great.
That day.
All right, sorry. 24 hours.
But yeah, 24 hours. I think I would do that. We would go definitely. He loved to barbecue, like do barbecue. So maybe like good, like, a, you know, get some steaks and grill them and, you know, and he loved to drink scotch. That's why I drink scotch too. Like, so we would get a bottle, do that drink, and then we'd play dominoes. He used to play dominoes all the time. So we'd play dominoes. So I think, and then maybe fish, because he loved to fish too. So that'd be a thing.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go in Maryland? Were you in the Potomac or?
We never fished in Maryland. Oh, in Venezuela. It was always like in Venezuela. Like early when I was younger, I remember like going and fishing, which was funny story. So in Venezuela, it's not like here, like in the U.S. where like the boat is nice and you got like fucking like this shit. Like I remember, one time we're in the beach and like, it's literally like those boats that you see on like Discovery Channel when people are going through the Amazon. Mm-hmm. Like those, just one engine.
Yeah.
That's it. So there was like, it was my dad, my uncle, and then other friends. And then I guess the guy who, so we start going. It was funny. My uncle would say, hey, you should give, what was that thing, Dramamine that they give to?
Yeah,
you know,
it's like for
Francisco, because, you know, and it's like, no, he'll be fine. It's like, so we went out on kind of like open sea. It wasn't like we didn't stay. So we're there, and obviously then we're waiting there for the, you know, fishing or whatever. And then like, then my uncle who had said, he starts throwing up. And I'm going like, you're the one that needs the drama.
He's told him to give it to you. Yeah.
But then, so then we're about to get back. And then all of a sudden the guy's like, shit doesn't start. And nothing. And we're just fucking just in that little boat, just hanging. And it's kind of getting late. You know, it's not dark yet, but it's getting there. And then the guy, my dad's like, so it's like, hey, what's happening? It's like, no, it's just, I don't know, man. I think we're out of gas. I was like, out of gas? Are you fucking nuts? It's like, don't worry. I'm going to go swim. He's like, and we're like, you could barely see the land. I'm like, are you going to swim? He's like, nah, it's fine. You know, those guys, they're always like, nah, it's fine. I'm like, no, you cannot leave us here. You're fucking nuts.
Especially if you don't make it. Yeah, we're fucked.
Exactly. Who's it's like, I got my kid here, 8 years old. Like, what are you fucking nuts? It's like, there's no cell phones.
He drove off?
No. So finally, we the more we do it, they finally turn on and then we got the fuck. But it was like, it was at that point, I was like, fuck. I remember going like, what the fuck? My dad was getting, because my dad was one of those guys that's like, I remember when you're young, it's one of those kids. And when you're a kid, he embarrasses you because he was too emotional sometimes. And we would be like, but then when you get older, you'd be like, oh yeah, I know why he did it. But it was like another time, remember back in Venezuela, we were going to, so we had the school bus that would pick us up. But the guy who drove the school bus was the son of the lady who worked in the cafeteria. But this guy was like a stoner, kind of like just doing. So he would like for example, when we had the fucking, when he drive the bus, it was literally basically first grade to like seniors in the high school. So guys are like watching Playboy and doing this, and then we would stop by other schools and throw water balloons to other students. It was like fucking crazy. So one day the guy comes picks us up. The bus wasn't working. My dad's waiting with me. He comes in a Jeep Wrangler. You know, not covered, just like with a bunch of kids in the back. And then my dad sees this shit and he's like, what the fuck? He's like, are you going to put my kid in there? He's like, are you crazy? He just starts going like fucking nuts. Like, this is my kid. This is my life. Are you fucking, you're fucking, you know, and I'm going like,
yeah, because you just want to be a kid with the other kids.
Exactly.
Obviously, there's nothing wrong there. There's a bunch of kids there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. And I'm just so crazy embarrassed. And then I did get in the thing. The guy,
he finally gave in.
And the guy running is like, put your seatbelt on. No seatbelt. There was no seatbelt. It was a fucking mess of a car. There was no seatbelt, you know. Dude. But yeah, so he was that guy. But yeah, I remember like we got back in the ocean, I mean, from the boat, and it worked out. But it was, yeah, so there were times.
Dude, that's a lost at sea story right there. Dude. About to happen.
Because
good luck getting back to shore, getting a boat, and coming back out and finding you. You're fucking floating.
And also, it's like, it was like literally like, I don't know, but like you could barely see the land. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we were like just close there. It's like, are you fucking? And there was no anchor either. It's like, this is a fucking little boat. Like, you know, it's like, luckily that shit. And like, again, no cell phones back then. So yeah, they remember that shit.
Dude, thank you for doing this episode.
Dude, man, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I told you before we started, I ask everybody their first time advice they would give to their 16-year-old self. So what advice you giving to 16-year-old Francisco?
I would be like, nothing matters. So do whatever you want to do. Like, and I think in terms of nothing matters, I don't be pessimistic. But I'm just saying it's like, don't think. Because I was very introvert and very follow the crowd kind of kid growing up. I always wanted to belong. I wanted to be like part of the cool group and all that stuff. And it's like, and when that happens, then you start not, you care too much about what other people think. And that's what I mean. It's like, nothing matters. Do what you want to do, because at the end of the day, nothing matters. It's like when you're trying to do stuff for somebody else, do it for you. And that's when shit really starts happening. And we, you know, you're kind of tested to this when you start, especially in the entertainment business, you know, when you start doing stuff because the industry tells you, somebody tells you, no, but when you start doing your own shit, that's when people start gravitating to you. So that's what I would tell, like, don't worry about being cool. Cool, what's cool is cool being you. And then people get attracted
very
to
well
that.
Said.
So that's what I would tell my
great advice.
Yeah. And also watch out because your mom's going to catch you jerking off.
One more time, plug everything, dude, please.
Well, just come, remember, my special is out right now, Venezuelan American. You can watch it on YouTube. Just go to my social media, F Ramos Comedy. It's all there, all the information there. And yes, I have shows coming up. I got Houston, I got Orlando, I got New York, I got Madrid, I got Bellflower, California. So come check it out. And
I love the Bellflower comes after Madrid, dude.
Hey, you know, when you go to restaurants, there's like, yeah. Tokyo, Madrid, Bellflower.
Bro. Thank you, brother.
Thank
for
you,
real. For
that, man. I appreciate it.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Tickets for my dates are up on my website. Go get them now. If I'm in your town, when you are around, come see a live show. Tickets are at ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.